And it's time to visit with Lydia Rebine of the Madison Public Library on this beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous Tuesday afternoon.
If a person didn't know better, they'd think it was spring out there already.
Well, you walked over without a coat, Lydia.
I did. I wasn't even cold. Which just means that it's going to, you know, within a few days, I'm sure, be terrible and a wind chill that will freeze our faces off. But we get today.
That's right. It's something. Beautiful day.
It is.
You know, it's kind of funny, us Minnesotans, it's 40-some degrees today, and we don't need a coat. And like September, October, if it hits 40, we're throwing on the winter coat.
Oh, I don't agree. I stretch it out as long as I can, because I know it's going to get bad. If you give in when it gets down to 40, it's not going to be a fun winter.
No. Well, hey, I appreciated that post you reshared on Facebook, me and you sitting in the studio with our winter coats on one time when we did the library show. Was like way 30 below zero.
I got such a laugh out of that when it popped back up in the Facebook memories, I think it is. Which I think that was 2019 when we had that really bad cold snap. But yeah.
Yeah. That was your creative idea to sit with our winter coats on in the studio.
Was it, or was that something that Maynard has thought we needed to do? I think it might have. He may have been the culprit.
Okay. All right. Well, we're having fun here in the studio this afternoon, and blue skies, just a lovely day, and you're going to fill us in on what's happening at the Madison Public Library,
Absolutely.
Lydia.
We're still going a little Valentine's crazy.
I suppose.
It's going to be the theme of a lot of things. In Madison, we still have some of our adult make-and-take kits left for the Valentine gnomes. You can see a photo of those on Facebook. And then in the children's department, we have a Valentine's gnome make-and-take kit for kids, which is a paper craft. It's very cute. Next week, we're going to be having an in-person class, and that's going to be smitten or sweater mitten making. So making mittens out of old sweaters and other recycled materials. That one's going to be a two-part class because it's kind of a process. So the first part will be on Tuesday, February 15th, and then the second part will be on Thursday, February 17th. They'll both start at 5 p.m. And that's going to be a small group class, so we will be requiring sign up for it so we know what to expect. And you can sign up by giving us a call at 320-598-7938, extension 1. Then starting a little later in the month on, I was going to say February 21st, but we're technically not open that day. So
okay.
February 22nd.
Second.
Yes.
All right.
We'll have new adult make and take craft kits, and those will be for a set of coasters made out of felt that look like citrus fruit slices. Something a little cheery and not winter themed to get us out of that mood, maybe. Over in Dawson, they currently have take and make kits available for a kid's teddy bear craft. Then starting on Monday, February 14th, both Dawson and Canby are going to have kits available, adult make and take craft kits for geometric canvas art. That's the one we did a couple of weeks ago in Madison, where you are using masking tape and paint to create a design on your canvas. It turns out very cool. You can get glitter in there and glitter everywhere else, and it's fun.
Yeah.
So they're going to have those starting next week. And trying to think of all the other little random things we've got going on. I guess since I brought it up, I should put out the reminder there that Monday, February 21st is President's Day. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be closed for that. All Pioneerland libraries will be closed and then open again for regular hours on that coming Tuesday.
Okay.
And gadgets, I think, would be kind of fun to talk about, too. So, of course, we have books, audio books, movies, TV shows, magazines, the stuff that everybody's kind of familiar with. But we also have an increasing number of tech gadgets, for lack of a better word, that people can actually check out and take home and borrow.
Oh, really?
Yes. Good. So one that we've had for a little while, but we have more of them now, are Wi-Fi hotspots that you can check out if you don't have home internet, or maybe you're going to be going, to the lake for the weekend and you don't have internet there and you want to be able to stream something or, you know, et cetera.
How does that work?
It works off of the cell phone wireless signal.
Okay.
So essentially, if it's somewhere where you can get a signal on your phone, you should be able to get internet through these hotspots.
Okay.
And much like the hotspot feature on your phone, where you can turn it on and connect another device to its internet, this is that same principle.
Okay.
It's a little box that you turn on and you find it with whatever device you're using. You enter a password and a username, okay, and you have internet.
Yeah, or a little tech tip during the library show,
yeah,
Lydia. Man, you have a lot of knowledge.
You're going to have you find out about all kinds of things.
Yep.
So we have those. Of course, it's still limited availability. You may have to go on a waiting list for them. Sometimes they're all checked out. Sometimes we have one just there and handy to grab. But those are available. Newer items, we have Chromebooks that people can check out. So laptops, essentially, little Chrome laptops. And those can be checked out and taken home as well. Those do not have their own internet source, so you would have to have internet at home to use with them or potentially check out a hotspot with them to use. We also, in Madison, Cambie, and Dawson, have telescopes. I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but just to remind everybody again, we have telescopes and kits to go with them.
Mm.
And so they can be checked out and brought home. It has the telescope, it has instructions, it has star maps.
Wow.
Everything you need to get started exploring the sky.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, which you could actually halfway comfortably do right now when it's not
right.
A horrible wind chill out.
That's right.
So we each have two of those that can be checked out and taken home. Also, under the banner of technology, Libby, I always like to talk about. That is our digital library collection where you can find audiobooks, ebooks, magazines, and you can access that by downloading the Libby app from whatever your respective app store is, depending on your type of device, or you can go online on your computer to pioneerland.overdrive.com. and access it that way, and you just have to enter a library card number. So just some extra things to think of and check out aside from those physical items you might think of more commonly in the library.
And the library's more than books.
Exactly, right. much more. Right. Although the books are still very important to
That's
us.
Right.
So.
All right, Lydia, well, should we move into what are the staff reading?
Yes, I'd call that an appropriate segue.
There we go.
Yeah, the books are important. Let's talk about them.
All right.
So, true crime fan that I have been reading The Doomsday Mother by John Glatt. In The Doomsday Mother, best-selling true crime author John Glatt tells the twisted tale of Lori Vallow, accused of having her two children murdered to start a new life with her new husband, doomsday prepper Chad Daybell. At first, the residents of Kauai Beach Resort took little notice of their new neighbors. The couple seemed to keep to themselves, until the police knocked on their door with a search warrant. Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell had fled to Hawaii in the midst of being investigated for the disappearance of Lori's children back in Idaho, Tylee and JJ, who hadn't been seen alive in 5 months. For years, Vallow had been devoted to her children and her Mormon faith. But when her path crossed with Chad Daybell, a religious zealot who taught his followers how to prepare for the end times, the tumultuous relationship transformed her into someone unrecognizable. As authorities searched for Lori's children, they uncovered more and more suspicious deaths with links to both Lori and Chad, including the death of Lori's third and fourth husbands, her brother, and Chad's wife. Deb has been reading Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, a therapist, her therapist, and Our Lives Reveal. I can't talk, apparently. We'll start over from scratch with that title.
Right.
Deb has been reading, and we're going to do it right this time. Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, A Therapist, Her Therapist, and Our Lives Revealed by Lori Gottlieb. One day, Lori Gottlieb is a therapist who helps patients in her Los Angeles practice. The next, a crisis causes her world to come crashing down. Enter Wendell, the quirky but seasoned therapist in whose office she suddenly lands. With his balding head, cardigan, and khakis, he seems to have come straight from Therapist Central casting. Yet he will turn out to be anything but. As Gottlieb explores the inner chambers of her patients' lives, a self-absorbed Hollywood producer, a young newlywed diagnosed with a terminal illness, a senior citizen threatening to end her life on her birthday if nothing gets better, and a 20-something who can't stop hooking up with the wrong guys, she finds that the question they are struggling with are the very ones she is now bringing to Wendell. With startling wisdom and humor, Gottlieb invites us into her world as both clinician and patient, examining the truths and fictions we tell ourselves and others as we teeter on the tightrope between love and desire, meaning and mortality, guilt and redemption, terror and courage, hope and change. Karen is reading Death with a Double Edge, Daniel Pitt, Book 4 by Anne Perry. When junior barrister Daniel Pitt is summoned to the scene of a murder in the London district known as Mile End, he knows that the victim is a senior barrister from the same firm. To Daniel's relief, it is not his close friend, Toby Kittredge. But the question remains, what was this respected colleague doing in such a rough part of the city? The firm's head, Marcus Ford Croft, may know more than he admits, but Ford Croft's memory is not what it used to be, and his daughter Miriam, Daniel's friend and sometimes sidekick, isn't in the country to offer her usual help. And so Daniel and Kittredge must investigate on their own, lest the police uncover something that may cast suspicious light on the firm. Alice is reading Blood on the Bridal Veil by E.M. Fuller, who is a local author from Montevideo. Mrs. Julian Stanch, an avid gardener and widow of 9 years, never stopped grieving the loss of her unfaithful husband. The citizens of Buffalo View Village and its authorities assumed Julian drowned in a boating accident, though the true cause of his disappearance, certified as death, remained a mystery. Someone knew what happened to Julian, and the secrets buried with him. But they'd have to get rid of his wife, Gloria, before Julian and his secrets could be revealed. Through chaos and mayhem, new loves blossom, and scoundrels are undone in this frantic comedy of errors and missteps. And last but not least, Naomi is reading Healing Hearts, Savage Wells, Book 2 by Sarah M. Eden. As the only doctor in the frontier town of Savage Wells, Gideon McNamara knows his prospects for a bride are limited. The women folk in town are either too young, too old, or already spoken for. So being a practical man, he decides to take advantage of the matchmaking service of the day, mail order brides, and sends away for a woman with nursing experience. When Miriam steps off the stagecoach in Savage Wells, she sees a bright future in front of her. But when the town and Gideon meet her, ready for a wedding, her excitement quickly turns to horror. Somehow, Dr. McNamara's message had gotten turned around. He didn't want a nurse, he wanted a wife. When she refuses to marry him, she finds herself stranded in Savage Wells with some very unhappy townspeople. But Gideon is not like the other men Miriam has met. Embarrassed by the misunderstanding, he offers her a job and the two begin an awkward and often humorous dance of getting to know each other as they work to care for the people of their town. That is what we are reading at the library.
Yeah, busy. A lot of crime books there, a few of them.
It seems like we like it gory, doesn't it? Murder, 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 real murder, fictional murder, more murder.
There you go.
Look out for those librarians.
That's
they
right.
have ideas.
Yeah, it's always fun to listen to what everyone's reading. That's awesome.
We hope that maybe somebody will find something they like along the way, too.
Yeah. So. All right. So when you open and where you're located, and again, you're going to be closed on the 21st. Huh?
Right. 21st for President's Day. We'll be closed for that holiday. But otherwise, we are open Mondays and Wednesdays, 10 to 5:30. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 to 7:30. Fridays, 1:30 to 5:30. And Saturdays, 10 to 2. And we're always closed from 1 to 1:30 for lunch.
Okay. All right. Well, good, Lydia. Thanks for coming over.
Oh, always fun to be here, especially on such a nice day.
Yeah, and enjoy your walk back to the library without a coat on today.
I certainly will.
All right. Thanks. Lydia Rebine with the Madison Public Library.